Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
And welcome in, everybody. This is Issel and Louis on a Bologna or Salami Wednesday. And the first hour of the show is brought to you by our friends at KentuckyTourism.com. And we're pleased, right off the jump, to welcome in the senior NBA writer for Anscape on ESPN.com. And more impressively, Louis, the winner of this year's Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame Kurt Gowdy Media Award.
How about that?
Mr. Mark Spears. Good morning, Mark.
Man, how y'all doing, man? I'm so excited to be on the airways in Louisville. Dan, I don't know if you remember, I worked there for the Courier before I covered the Nuggets.
Here's something you don't know. You are going into the Basketball Hall of Fame, but even more impressively, Mark, you have entered the Issel and Louis Hall of Fame for talented writers that used to work at the Courier Journal.
That's right.
And so we want to hear about your time in Louisville.
Yeah. Hey, you know what, Louis? Let me mention this to you. I was laughing at first because the producer called Avery, and she goes, "Is Dan and Louis?" I said, "How did Dan Issel get Louis Dampier to do it?" You know what I'm saying? He barely talks.
Get out of bed before 11 is really the problem there. Yeah.
Now the Kurt Gowdy Media Award—that's pretty heady stuff, my friend. How did you find out about that?
Oh, man, the Hall of Fame reached out to me last fall and said I was being considered for it. And, I mean, Dan, I play college basketball, but I wasn't the horse, man. I wasn't even close to being anything like you. But, you know, as a kid, I got some great advice during a career day where they basically said, hey, if this guy asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I'm like, I have no idea. He said, well, if you combine what you love most in life, if you combine what you love most in life, what you do best in school, you'll find a career that you like every day. And I really thought about it. And I saw a stat at that time that less than 2% of all college basketball players make it to the NBA. And I was like, man, if I can't play in the NBA, at least the next best thing is to be there. And I thought about that advice. Loved sports. I was good in writing. Combine that, be a sports writer. So I decided to be a sports writer in the seventh grade. And so the same way you were preparing to be a number one pick in the draft, I was preparing to be a number one pick in journalism. And so I was always ahead of the curve in terms of journalism, and I still play college basketball, but that 2% stat always stuck in my head. And, so I was blessed with an opportunity to start covering the Denver Nuggets in 99. But I think, before that, I covered the University of Kentucky. I covered Louisville. I covered Arkansas. And so now this is, now it's my 24th year covering the NBA. And, I didn't get to play in the NBA, but I saw more games than I believe every player who has played in the NBA has taken part in. So it's just been an amazing journey. And, Dan remembers me when I was this annoying pipsqueak starting to cover the NBA in 99. That's how far we go back. And so to get this honor now, man, is to be in the same team with you, Dan, is pretty incredible.
He's Mark Spears, at Mark J. Spears on Twitter. It's Mark with a C. You can find this off Anscape.com. They actually have their own site, separate from the ESPN site. It's laid out a lot more nicely than the ESPN.com site is as well, so it's a lot, lot easier. So good work on that, Mark. It's interesting. We always have ESPN or ESPN2 on here on the TVs in the studio, and they ask the question, who needs to win tonight's game more? And of course, the stat is out there in 1-1 series. In the finals, 80%. That winner of Game 3 goes on to win this series. Is there a sense for you that one team has to win tonight?
I think Denver got to get their mind back in the series the right way. I know, Dan, as a coach, they probably would have drove you nuts those first two games. The Miami Heat play every game as if their life is depending on it. They just fight. They scratch, they claw. It could be down 20. I believe Denver had a 42. How do you have a 42-10 run and lose? Right? And that's the Nuggets' problem, is they are more talented than Miami. Unquestionably a better roster. But they take their foot off the gas. And once you do that, Miami gets in their Corvette and speeds up next to you and passes you. You can't play games with the Heat. This is a veteran crew. They've been to the finals. They know the importance of every single game. And I don't think Denver, the first two games, showed the mentality of what it takes to win this thing. There's not 10 games. There's 4, right? And so there's no way they should be tied in the series right now. So I think if Miami wins this tonight, Denver's had very little adversity. I don't know how they'll handle being behind in a series. Right now, let's look like the Heat have the advantage. If they split, they're going home. So I do think that Denver definitely needs to get this series back in their direction.
Mark, there's been some criticism of Coach Malone and how critical he was of the team after game two. Where do you come down? Was he justified in that, or should that have been something that was kept behind the locker room doors?
I think that's frustration running out, because he does understand the value of every game, every win. Like, it's first four. Dan, you've been in this championship series before. It's the first of four. You can't have my bads. And so I don't have a problem with it. He knows, man, like the AC that lost the first play-in game that they played in to the Hawks. Like, we forget about that. That seems like 8 years ago, right? The play-in. Like, they lost their first game. They're not supposed to be here, but they're here. They're playing with house money. They don't have any pressure, right? Like, I think that Coach Malone is trying to show his relatively young team, like, hey, man, like, y'all better wake up. Because these guys, man, they're hungry to get Miami another championship. They've been there before. They know the importance. Like, even Jimmy Butler, I don't know if you guys saw it, after their last game, he left. Dan, I'm going to still call it the Pepsi Center. I'm not even going to call it that. We're going to still call it the Pepsi Center. He left Pepsi Center with a T-shirt that says 3 more. That's Miami Heat basketball. That's Heat culture. Yep. And if they win tonight, he's going to wear a shirt that says 2 more. Like, they are locked in. I don't get the sense that the Denver Nuggets are locked in the same way, which is probably why the coach went off on them.
Mark Spears with us, at Mark J. Spears on Twitter. Go find his stuff there, of course, from ESPN. Mark, you mentioned that Heat culture in your last answer there. Growing up, I watched I grew up in Michigan, and so I watched the Pistons culture in the 2000s, obviously the bad boy culture before that. The Spurs had a built-in culture during that time as well. Can you remember an organization in your time since, 99 covering this, that has had such a consistent culture as the Heat do?
I mean, like, think about this. They've been to the finals 7 times since 2006.
Wow.
Just let that sink in.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah. Has the Patriots done something like that? Like, they've been in the finals 7 times. I was around the Warriors when they went 5 times in a row. And that was incredible in itself. But, I mean, this is, you know, that says a lot about their franchise, their mentality. When you look at their roster, this is like the fish that saved Pittsburgh, man. Like, there's the guys that are cut, you know, guys that, you know, second-round picks, people didn't believe in. And I actually think part of the reason why Miami basketball is so successful is because everybody has a chip on their shoulder in some regard. So there's not no lackadaisical play. There's always this mentality like, if I don't eat now, I'm going to die. Like, they just have this interesting, unique, like, survival mentality that is different than any other franchise that I've covered. No other franchise is like that. They, like, truly believe in themselves. And I think the more and more I'm around this franchise, like, they look for players that have that DNA.
Mark, there's a story out there that a lot of our listeners in Louisville are interested in. And for the very first time, I think, I heard the commissioner mention expansion. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the TV contracts, the new TV contracts are coming out in 2024. I'm pretty confident my company, ESPN, will get back into it. I'm not sure what Turner is going to do. There's been a lot of change. What the parent company of Turner Sports, and Amazon is interested, and I hear NBC Sports is interested in as well. But I think the reason why we haven't seen any expansion teams yet is they're going to wait till this new television contract goes. And here's another reason why they should wait. There was so much talk before this finals that no one's going to watch this. It's Miami. It's Denver. It's not LeBron. It's not Steph. Not the elite player names of the league or whatever. Viewership's been pretty great. It's 12 million. One thing that a lot of people don't realize, too, is I think the reason why these games are so late at night, it has nothing to do with America. It has everything to do with the ability for China to see these games.
Wow.
At a breakfast hour. Like, people don't think about it like that. I asked some of the Chinese reporters, like, how many people watch these games, these finals games in China? They're like 50 million. so when you're talking about, like, getting a TV deal, it's bigger than just the United States. Like, the NBA is probably the most popular league next to, you know, the Champions League in soccer, right?
Right.
But I say all that to say that once this new TV deal goes, it's going to balloon what a potential expansion team could cost. It's going to make it even more expensive to buy a team. So that's why you wait. I actually think, and this might sound crazy, that the NBA now, with the influx of talent internationally that's going to continue to grow, might be a little gluttonous with this statement. But I think it has the ability to get 14, right? Wow. Which certainly would be beneficial to Louisville, right, to their hopes. I think the assumption more likely is 2. There's also this assumption that Seattle will get a team. There's also this assumption that Vegas will get a team. I think the assumption of Vegas is people just love going to Vegas, love partying. Mm. But if you look at Vegas at television market in terms of locally, they're like the 42nd market in the country. Mm. So it's different than the NFL. And the NFL, that's why a team like Green Bay can survive and do so great, is because it's a national TV deal. It does, you know, they could play in, you know, shoot, Nova Scotia. It doesn't matter, right? Like, they haven't, but, you know, NBA is different. For example, if you put a team in Las Vegas, I believe there's less people in Nevada than there is in the San Francisco Bay Area. So where are they going to show their games? You can't show them in California. There's 4 teams there. You can't show them in Nevada and Arizona and New Mexico. There's the Suns, right? They got that. Dan, you would know this. Nuggets are in Wyoming, probably, right? Like,
yep.
There's all these surrounding territories. Portland Trailblazers have Oregon and Washington, where they're going to show their game. So I think while Vegas is the sexy site, I don't know that it's the best site for the NBA. What might surprise you is I think the number one option is Mexico City.
Right.
Which is
just because of the population.
Well, a couple things. When you get Mexico City, you get Mexico and Latin America. So ESPN Mexico has 30 million subscribers. So I believe the team with the most eyes from their, I guess, their so-called local deal, it's not the Knicks. It's the Mexico City Capitanes of the G League, because they are shown on ESPN Mexico, which has 30 million subscribers. And then keep in mind, Dan, you asked me this question, so I'm trying to go deep on it, give you all the information.
No. I want to know if Louisville's got a shot.
Yeah. So also, a channel called Star Plus, which is in Latin America, that shows the Mexico City game. So if you get a team in Mexico City, then you have 30 million subscribers just in Mexico alone, and then games are showed all across Latin America. That is an incredible buy. So then people say, well, Mexico City's not safe, and is America safe? Right? Where the team is in, and the players stay in a neighborhood called Polanco, which is one of the most incredible neighborhoods I've ever been to in my lifetime, and I've been all over the world. So going back to Louisville, I do think that Louisville's a great place. I mean, I've lived there. I know there's money on top of money there. I also wonder if, and Dan, we've talked about this, should Louisville be like the expansion thing? Let's try to get Michael Jordan to sell us the team. Let's move Charlotte. Maybe try to talk to Memphis and get them to move the team. I actually think that's a cheaper option, to try to convince a team to buy a team and move the team, which is certainly easier said than done. But if you buy it, like Vancouver got moved to Memphis, right? Like Seattle got moved to Oklahoma City. I mean, it can be done. So the fact that Michael Jordan has put out there that he's trying to sell this team, I wouldn't even wait for an expansion. Whoever the people, and I believe, Dan, you're involved in it, the Louisville group, I'm going to, you know, Dan, you know, that's your Hall of Fame teammate. I'd go knock on Michael's door right now and go sit on the porch and try to have a conversation with him.
kind of like the Nike people did.
Yeah.
Well, Dan's a Converse guy, so that's not going to go well. Yeah, it's not going to work out. Canvas shoes only.
Yeah, no, I think Michael Jordan is very secure in his shoe contract. He's not worried about that.
Mark, listen, I know you have a lot of duties on game day down there in Miami, so we really appreciate you joining us. We appreciate your insight, and I think I'm going to be there. It's in August, right, the induction ceremony?
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, I'm excited. If you have any tips on induction speech, let me know. Although they're not going to give me as much time as they gave you. So
No. We both got 5 minutes. You told me you had 5 minutes. That's all they gave me.
I don't believe they gave you 5 minutes. That's not true.
Dan's only advice is make sure all of your false teeth are in for the talk. That's it.
Dan, you kept it to 5 minutes.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Mark's not believing it.
Back on YouTube.
My first thank you, Mark, was to all the media people that covered me.
I'm definitely going on YouTube now.
Hey, I'm here
next week if you guys need some more finals insight, you know. Well, I'm around, man. Love you, Dan.
Love you too, Mark. Let's have lunch when you get back for game five.
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks, Mark Spears, everybody. Thank you, Mark.
At Mark J. Spears on Twitter and Scape, andscape.com for all of their stuff. It really is a beautiful website. Mark's just one of those guys. It's interesting how he talked about his career, Dan, that he, you know, I'm not going to make it as an NBA player, but how do I stay around the game? And he figured it out. So
yeah.
That's cool stuff.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, he might be the most inside person as far as what's going on in the NBA that I know, because people trust him. He's an old-time journalist.
Right,
if you
right.
If you tell him, Louis,
it's off the record.
Mark, yeah, right. here's what I've got to say, but, you know, you can't quote me, or, you know, you got to come up with the idea on your own. He'll do it.
Right.
And
yep.
And a lot of these young guys anymore, man, if they hear something, it's out there. Yep. So, Mark and I had our differences. I remember one time after a practice in Denver, he and I had a shouting match in the hallway going into the locker room. So it hasn't always been lovey-dovey, but he's a really good guy and obviously a great, great sportscaster.
See, Avery, I knew I liked Mark. He's screaming at Issel. That's nice. I like that.
He seems like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, very based.
I got that. Like, I got a very cool vibe from him, like, the second he answered the phone.
He sounds like the professional guy who lives in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like the Bay Area. He does.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got that feel. Yeah, for sure. He's not the tech guy. Tech guy has a very different feel in the Bay Area. Mark has the other one. Whatever the other one is, he's got it. So that's great. Well, good. He said he's coming on next week. So all we got to do is get Hubie Brown after the odd number games and Mark Spears after the even number games.
There you go. Okay.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Well, those are phone calls you have to make, Dan.
We'll do it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, it's Issel and Louie, if you were not aware. And we are here until noon. Bobby V's got you after us. First replay, 3 to 6. We go local 7 to 6 every single day, weekday here on ESPN 680. I'm watching the Reds walk it off with 3 runs in the ninth in Ellie De La Cruz's. And now, Dan, I have FOMO, Dan. I have FOMO. I missed out. I did not go see Ellie De La Cruz when he was in a Bats uniform. I screwed up because that guy's never coming back.
No. He must be something special. I mean, there's some outlets that had him as a number one minor league prospect in all of baseball. But I told you when I watched him when they played the Cubs,
right?
And they've got a lot of really good young players. I think the Matt McLain that I mentioned when I saw him play the Cubs, I think he had three hits last night, including the walk off. And so if they could get any, because that division stinks. I mean, the Cubs stink, the Cardinals stink, Pittsburgh. If they could get some pitching, it's not out of the question that they could win that division.
Well, the cool thing about being a Reds fan, I imagine, is you see these young players and you wonder when they're going to trade them this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
exactly.
You're getting excited about the trade deadline.
That cannot happen.
Oh, man.
I don't even know the guy's name that owns the Reds, but I've said this before. You either have the cycle going up or you have the cycle going down. And he can't unload these kids, or it will plummet. He's got to pay them. He's got to get them some help. And I think the future is pretty bright for the Reds right now.
I apologize to the guy listening that heard me say, I bet you're getting excited for the trade deadline. And it opened up what is already just a scabbed over wound. And I just ripped the scab off of that guy, and he threw something at the radio, or he told me to bleep off. I apologize to that guy, but only kind of, because, you know, it's part of my job. Oh, man. But, yeah, no, it's, again, people who listen to this show more than, you know, once ever have heard me say that I just want to cover good teams in this area. So it wouldn't make me mad if the Reds actually got good.
No, that would be fun.
Totally fine.
That would be fun.
Oh, man. Little Mark Spears to open the show. A reminder, speaking of the Reds, that we do have Reds-Dodgers tonight on our air, 680, 105.7. At 6:40, so if you're driving around, you can catch that out. And our friends Ethan Moore, Taylor Lynch over on Louisville Sports Live, they're going to be talking fourth-string quarterbacks tonight from 7 to 9 on 93.9 The Ville. And then NBA Finals Game 3, of course, will join after they're done at 9 o'clock, so you get at least the last 60, 65, 70% of that game as well. When we come back on the other end, Dan and I will talk about that final series. We also have to I have Avery... I'm going to get annoyed at something in a very deep way, but I'm not going to argue with Dan about it. So you don't have to worry about...
Good.
Okay, yeah. You don't have to worry about that
about
today.
Dumping
good,
Louis.
Because you'd be getting someone else on this board.
Boom. I'm not going to go in that direction, but something does annoy me. And I'm going to do that as soon as we come back. If you want to find out what's grinding my gears today, putting the show sheet together, there's two things, but one of them I'll definitely go after. In the first hour of the show, brought to you by our friends at KentuckyTourism.com. So much good stuff going on the website right now, especially if you are ready to explore the outdoors, the bourbon trails, the golf, any of the dining, any of the concert options. Check them all out at KentuckyTourism, not Tourism. KentuckyTourism.com. On the other end, something's grinding my gears. We talk about it next.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
Welcome back. This is Issel and Louis, ESPN 680 105.7 and the ESPN Louisville app. We appreciate you listening in this morning. And when you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your summer getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. Okay, Louie, what's wrong?
All right, so John Clay. Right, so we got to do this. Dan, I don't understand the place that you have a degree from at all. Hey, John Calipari and Mark Stoops. This year, Kentucky's a baseball school. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. So the discussion in the fall where people made the argument that Kentucky's a football school, it is probably, man. Okay, so I'm trying to think of like adult arguments that I've had to have, right, where, you know, disagreements I've had with people where they say things that are not smart. And the idea that... you know, a program with eight national titles. Do you know that Kentucky wasn't even over 500 in football until 3 years ago, Dan?
All time. I mean, everybody thinks that Mark Stoops has turned the program around because they used to win two or three games a year.
Sure.
But they've only won more than seven games twice.
They have played over 1,300 games since 1881, Dan. And they are five games over 500. Okay? Kentucky basketball has eight national titles. Kentucky baseball played its first season in 1896. They have made the NCAA tournament eight times.
Not the College World Series.
No.
The tournament.
The tournament.
Yeah. Okay? I get it.
Can we shut the hell up with this? Can we stop having the dumbest argument that has ever existed? I mean, John Clay, God bless you. Stunning. You get to make a career writing stuff like this. Stunning. Good job. I'm jealous. I don't know how you figured it out, but good for you. Came on this show, was very jovial a couple weeks ago. Appreciate the man. This is the bottom, and you don't have to keep going to the bottom. That's okay. You don't have to do it. You can be slightly better than the bottom, John. It's possible you can do it. I promise. Put your glasses on in the morning, wrap them around your ears like I'm sure you have to nowadays. It's totally fine, buddy. You can do it. Wear that Keeneland hat to Derby. You can do it. But you don't have to do this, man. You don't have to be this guy. You don't have to do statue talk. You don't have to talk about what kind of school Kentucky is. Stop it. Go ahead.
You know, that really grinds my gears.
You're damn right it does.
You know, I've got to admit, Louie, that I bought in a little bit because I contacted John and I asked him to switch my $100 donation from the Stoops trophy to the Maglione trophies, or statue.
Do you know what we should get is one of those where they're conjoined twins and they come out of the same body and it's just their two heads. And then it would be ugly enough that I would approve of the statue. Let's do that. Yeah, I went conjoined twins on a Wednesday. What's up? That's how much I think of these people.
That would be a pretty cool statue.
Thank you very much. like a half football jersey, half baseball jersey. Stoops' giant head over here. Mingione having to lean over because Stoops' head is so big. Make it happen. He's at a baseball school.
Dan! You know what?
Dan!
There was a line in this story that drew me in. And they asked the Indiana coach after he lost, they said, do you think the Indiana-Kentucky baseball series would be really good to have every year? And he said, no, they canceled the series. So that's not going to happen. They called up and canceled the Indiana. So they asked Barnhart about it. And Barnhart said, oh, this is the first I've heard about it. I don't get involved in the baseball schedule.
Uh-huh.
I leave that up to the coach. What? What? You're the athletic director at Kentucky and don't get involved in the baseball scheduling? What's going on down there, Lewis?
Gratitude is, Dan, and grace. That's what's going on down there. He's too busy being gracious and having gratitude to do any of this work. Dan, what I hope it is that there's some editor at the Herald Leader that happens to listen to this show and is like, I bet this will piss Louis off. I'm going to write a stupid headline about what kind of school Kentucky is and just get that jerk in Louisville all mad at me, and just for no reason. It'd be great. I'm sure that person doesn't exist. But yeah. John Clay, yeah. Man, we don't have to do this every year. Or twice a year now. It hasn't even been 8 months. Stop. Can't.
We'll see how much of a baseball school it is when they get done with LSU this weekend. LSU didn't lose a game in their regional, and they have two players, that are supposed to be among the top five picks. So that might be a rough trip for UK baseball.
The thing about LSU, they've only won six titles in baseball. So it really not a lot of history of success there. All of them since 1990. Dan. These people.
Take it easy.
No, I don't want to. These people. These Herald Leader people.
You know, that really grinds my gears.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know what this is. This is just to get people like we're doing, talking about it, and hope they can sell some subscriptions.
Here's how I know that's not true. Here's how I know that's not true.
How?
Because he did the statue thing last fall, and we crushed it, okay? And then he didn't say anything. No response, just rolled with it. And then they lose to Vandy, and that's when he texts. When there was an actual result on the field and they lose at home to Vanderbilt, then he replied to you because you were totally right. And that, can you imagine having Avery? Think about Kentucky basketball and what it is, okay? They win a game this year. Every four-year cycle, they've at least won an NCAA tournament game. Not made the tournament, not whatever, won a tournament game every four-year cycle since the NCAA tournament has existed. That's unbelievable. Only place in the country that's done that. It's not close, okay? They have a ton of championships when the SEC is completely segregated. Then, Joby Hall leads integration at Kentucky, and Goose Givens, within the first couple of years, becomes a star. Transcends race, transcends all kinds of things. Wins the title in 78. Cannot be stopped. Doesn't, as far as I know, he went 300 for 300 in that game, okay? They come back. They're great again in the 90s. They come back with Cal. They win again. They go coach to coach to coach. They go regime to regime, and they win again and again. And I have to hear about how it's a football school because they're five games over 500. Or it's baseball school because they make the NCAA freaking tournament once. And a bunch of people show up to drink beer on a nice day. I just, Dan, can't. Can you imagine? You imagine?
No.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you can't imagine either.
No, I mean, everybody knows you're right, so.
Play it again.
Everybody knows you're right.
You know, that really grinds my gears.
Someone's calling. I can't imagine who's calling. It's clickbait for John Clay. Coming down on the text line, by the way, 437-9680. People have been texting today. I apologize for not paying attention. The baseball program, crush Clay, Dan, cheer on the Cats. No. Okay. Both things can be true, by the way. I can want UK baseball to keep winning because it gives us something to talk about. But at the same time, it doesn't mean it doesn't annoy me. Ah, man, oh, man. Ah.
They could go to the College World Series, and it still isn't a baseball school.
No, that's right. They could win the whole thing, and it won't matter. Right?
They could win the College World Series, and it's not a baseball school.
Oh, man. No, nothing interesting in that call, Avery?
I don't even know what this dude is saying.
Oh, okay. All right. Was he agreeing with me? Because that's the only thing that matters.
Not even a listener.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. Well, never mind.
He was ordering a pizza? What was he doing?
I don't even know. Something about supplies, but not supplies. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That guy doesn't need to be called.
Don't you have caller ID on that phone?
We do.
Not really.
It's just numbers, though. Yeah. Yeah. I have caller ID on the text line. I don't know if people know that. So if we know who you are, we've bugged your name and your name comes up on the text line. I don't know if people know that.
Kristen told me something the other day that I was not aware of. I hate getting text. Do you get text from a number that you don't have in your contact and they say something and don't say who they are? So I'll get a text from a random number and it'll say, Dan, do you think the Nuggets can still win this series? And I have no clue who it is.
Oh, okay.
But Kristen told me you can Google those numbers and it'll tell you who it is in most instances.
That's what I do. Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna start doing it because I don't reply if. If I don't know who is texting me, I don't reply to it.
Okay.
I don't reply to it. So.
All right.
BBN Billy agrees and says that if Calipari gets three more years, they won't even be a basketball player.
Oh, man.
Man.
All right. So, texter, the guy was calling to say he's stuck behind Moby Dick. Man, that's a good,
That's a good text. I like that one.
Good text. Oh, man. All right. Well, Isla and Louie, we'll take you up until noon. Bobby V after us, first replay, Sweezy Street will got you till 6 o'clock after him. Here on ESPN 680, 105.7. It is a Wednesday, so tomorrow, don't forget that we'll have Soccer City here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Or no, that's tonight, isn't it? Is Soccer City today?
Yeah, it's Wednesday night. Wednesday night.
Pardon me. So they're on tonight, and then we'll have...
Soccer City is normally on Thursdays.
Yeah, I thought so, too. It says tonight on here. I'm going to guess it's Thursday because we have Reds at 6:40. So,
Wait a second. We had Soccer City on Wednesday last week because I missed it going to the Nugget game.
Right. It's typically only Wednesdays if there's a game on a Wednesday or if they have two games that week.
But they do play on Saturday. They're back home, so I will very likely be going to that game against Memphis Area Code FC. Join Jeff Milby, Casey Whitfield at 7:45. Kickoff at 8 o'clock. It's all Saturday night. ESPN at 680.
So the Belmont will be over.
I'll watch the Belmont from the tailgate. I think that's what we'll end up doing. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, so it's an anniversary for me today, Dan. And it is something that we have talked about. We talked about it right after Derby. I went back and listened to the last 10 minutes of our Monday show after Derby because I talked about my brother. And my brother's birthday always coincides with Derby. It's either usually right before, right after, Oaks Day, Derby Day, whatever. It's May 5th. And so it always coincides. Today is the anniversary of his passing, the 26th anniversary of his passing. And so I think I got all of my my radio, whatever you want, since we're doing the What Bothers Louie stuff this half hour of the show.
Your emotion.
Little therapy session for your boy.
Yeah.
And but today's 26th anniversary of his passing, and if you weren't listening the Monday after Derby, number one, shame on you, but number two, I talked about my brother and how different we were as guys. And it is amazing, Dan, and you know this, you know, two guys, you know, let's say two brothers grow up, same house, same parents, everything, same DNA, everything. And they're just totally different, right? It's really remarkable. Yep. I've got four kids, and good gosh, they are so divergent.
That's me and my sister.
Perfect, yeah. Your military sister. Yeah, right. That's a good example. And so, you know, my brother was a music composer. and a classical music composer, in fact, a really, really talented one. And so the thing that he and I have in common is that we're both creative types who like to make things. Mine happens to be in this medium. His was in music. And I don't know how I'm going to celebrate today, Dan. It is a rainy day in Louisville, and I'm not complaining because we needed the rain like the deserts miss the rain. I forget the name of that horrible song. But anyways, it's one of those days. But you know what, Dan? Unlike Derby, where I was thinking about his birthday and about the surgery, I woke up with a great calm. I just wanted to share that just because I've talked about Neil before. For some reason, just a ton of calm today, and I'm just grateful that I got to hug my kids today and head into the studio.
Did he have a family?
No. So he died very early 20s. So her name was Molly. He had a woman that he was going to marry had he not gotten sick. So I think the only reason they weren't engaged is because he knew there was a chance he wouldn't make it, and then he ended up not making it.
Right.
So, yeah. But no.
Well, see, that's one advantage. I lost my brother, but, you know, I have a niece and a nephew and a sister-in-law that, you know, kind of it continues his legacy. So that makes it a little easier anyway.
But the good thing about having an artist for a sibling is as long as somebody recorded it, the music's around forever.
Yeah.
So I've got all his stuff. It's even on Spotify, so I can just pull it up on my phone, that kind of stuff. So able to do that. I was just listening to it the other day, and I had this cool moment. So I'm Louie. My dad was Louie. I have a son named Louie, and I'm actually the fifth in our line. My son is the sixth. And I was sitting on our front porch kind of thinking about my brother in anticipation of today. And I was listening, and Louie comes out, and he goes, "Hey, what is this?" I said, "Oh, you know, Neil wrote this." It was, "Wait, Uncle Neil wrote this?" Mm-mm. And I remember how cool that moment was because my kids certainly never met him. And they know very little personally about him. But just his astonishment that someone could come up with this on their own. Right? Start with a blank piece of paper and then that's what comes out. Mm-hmm. And just thankful for that today. I don't know why I was so calm today. But just...
Until you read Clay's article.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
And John Clay ruined your day.
Yeah, thanks, John.
You know, that really grinds my gears.
You're damn right it does. But the other part, of course, is I know my brother. I said this on that Monday. The two things that I really miss, not the only things, but the two that I miss is, like, getting to mess with his kids, like being that uncle would have been really fun. And then the other part is because I do that to my poor sister, and is the other thing is he would hate this medium so much, he would hate what I do, and that would give me so much joy, and I can't believe I missed out on that. But
that's such a sibling.
It totally is. Yes, of course. I will say I want to close with one last story about Neil. So when I was a little kid, I was the star little hockey player in our league in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my brother would show up. There was a ledge over the old ice rink where we grew up, the Jolly Roger Ice Arena. How about that? What a ridiculous name. And he would sit up on the ledge, and he would bring an extension cord and a speaker, and he would play organ music during our games. And when you're like 9 years old, dude, so he would play the national anthem himself before the games, and then he would stick around. So by the way, he's like 16, 17, right, at this time. He's 7 years older than me. So he's 16, 17. So as a teenager, he's nice enough to his younger sibling to show up, play the national anthem, and then stick around and play like organ music in between possessions, right, like for face-offs and stuff. And I'll never forget that kind of thing.
That's
where
great.
Because yeah, I'm sure there's got to be a couple guys who have thought about that recently that I played with who were like, did we have organ at our games when we were seven? was that Louis' brother? I guess it was. Yeah, you know, so that kind of stuff. So no, I miss him. I hope he's as calm today as I was this morning before I read
there
John
you
Clay.
Go.
So
there you go.
Right. Appreciate all the text on the text line too. Thanks everybody. Appreciate it. I had mentioned that after Derby, and so I just wanted to kind of put a bow on that. So there you go. Little June 7th, May 7th, June 7th, surgery and death date. So he made it 13 months after the surgery. So Again, by the way, and this is a good opportunity for me to do this. Bob Valvano had the same disease, and he took pills. My brother had to have an invasive surgery to get better, and he only made it 13 months. Yeah. And so it's gotten so much better. I'm thrilled for it, by the way. It's the best thing that's happened. But if you need something, if you need a cause or something like that, the cancer research cause is one that in the last – so he died 26 years ago. In the last quarter century, it's that much better for so many people, and you could be part of that. You know, KFOV is the local group for the V Foundation. It's something that people should absolutely be involved in.
Well, and Bob, Bob said that and says it quite regularly that the
pills are like 6 years old or something.
The medication that cured him was like 5 years old. And so you're absolutely right. I mean, if it keeps getting better, and hopefully one day we'll knock it out completely. But I can't think of too many other causes that are more. That are better than
and they affect all of us, right? All of us have been affected by cancer, and so my brother had leukemia, if anyone was wondering. And looking back, we probably took the wrong tact by me doing the surgery, but I would absolutely go lay on that table again. And so
that was at that time. That's what we probably had. The only option.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that was one of the cool things that we discovered too. Was so my brother, they DNA tested him against me and against my sister, and my brother's DNA and mine were so close down to how far they could measure. And then I remember sitting with my mom one night, and I'm like, is it weird that Neil and I have really similar DNA and we're really different dudes?
The same thing happened with my brother when he had his kidney disease. We all went in and see what kind of a match. The surgeon that did my brother's operation quit doing kidney transplants unless it was a close matching relative.
Yeah,
because it was so.
Yeah, the rejection rate. Yeah,
The rejection rate of cadavers or people that didn't match was way too high, and he couldn't take, the rejection after rejection, and so he was only doing that. So they tested me and my sister and my mom and my dad, and my dad was the one who matched the best, and so. My dad gave Greg one of his kidneys, but it keeps progressing all the time, and hopefully one day we'll have the answer to it all.
Texter, I need to hear about hippos to cheer me up. Done. Hippos are the third largest mammals on Earth. There are two species of hippopotamids on the planet. They are the second strongest mammalian swimmers after elephants. And they are herbivores. They do not eat meat of any kind. Gestation period, 243 days for a baby hippo, right at 8 months. How about that, Texter? You're welcome.
Wow, 8 months. I would think it'd be more than that. It's 11 months for a horse.
You know who's smarter than a horse? A hippo.
Yeah, a hippo.
There you go.
Yeah, except the one that Wayne has stuffed in his office. That one, that hippo wasn't too smart.
Wow, it's really nice here. There's lots of food and places for me to walk around in the open? Huh.
Bam!
Oh, man. Texter, I wonder if Avery feels any empathy with you and your stories. I think she does, but normally she has a weird sense of humor. Avery, would you like to respond to that, Texter?
I do have empathy.
Because he wasn't like killed in a crime or anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I also get the whole sibling thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Oh, the uncle thing, though, man.
I'm the older sibling out of the two.
Well, the thing, too, like, I don't know. I'm sure Dan does this, too. But, like, I think like, my nieces and nephews would have loved me. Because I'm so, like, Neil and I were so different. Like, and he would have hated that, too. Oh, man. It's that kind of stuff. Gah!
I could see it.
Oh. Hey, why don't you send the kids to Louisville for a week? No, I'm good, Louis. No, you should send them down. No. It'll be all right. We'll hang out.
Yeah. teach them how to bet a three-horse trifecta box.
Do you kids know how to play Keno?
Teach them all the bad habits, sugar them up, then send them home.
Whoa. Texter, Louis, did you know that Pablo Escobar brought a bunch of hippos to Colombia and now they're running all over the place destroying it? Whoa. I'm trying to do a news program here, sir, ma'am. Hippo is a Greek for water horse, coming down to the text line. At least the hippo went humanely. Oh, that's a good text. That is a really good text. All right, now I'm looking up this Pablo Escobar thing because Kentucky's a baseball school.
Did full circle. Where did he, I mean, he had to bring him from Africa,
obviously,
right?
Yeah. Pablo Escobar. Hippos, it's right on top. Whoa. Removing 70 of Pablo Escobar's hippos to cost Colombia $3.5 million. What a headline.
Well, if removing them costs that much, how much do the damages cost?
All right, hang on. Colombia has said the cost of transferring 70 hippos that belong to deceased drug lord Pablo Escobar to overseas sanctuaries will be $3.5 million. The cocaine baron brought a small number of animals from Africa to Colombia in the late 80s, but after his death in 93, the animals were left to roam in the hot, marshy area of the Antioquia department, where environmental authorities have been helpless to curb their members. 60 of them are. Oh my gosh. They're heading to India.
I've got a solution for them, and it won't cost them $3.5 million.
All right.
You get them a blindfold and a cigarette.
There it is. A call Wayne Lister. So someone just sent me the. Oh, it's the same texture. I found the same article in The Guardian. In 2009, they tried culling the animals, but stopped after a graphic photo caused national outrage. A sterilization program remains in place, but the hippos breed faster than local experts can find catch and castrate them. See, you know what happened? A little self-deprecating humor coming. These hippos, they're hanging out in Africa, they're doing the thing. They get them to Colombia, they introduce them to Catholicism. There you go. Boom. Bunch of kids. There it is. Boom.
No birth control in Colombia.
No, none of that.
No
native
hippo. No hippo birth control.
Hundreds of hippos in Colombia. Man. Louis, thank you for talking about your brother. That was beautiful. It's the most glowingly I've heard someone talk about another person since Dan talked about Bill Self.
Boy, that's not going to die.
Oh, no. That's, well, we're going to make it worse in November, too. Yeah,
that's kind of like behind Moby Dick.
Yeah.
That one's never going to go away.
All right. Do tourism read, my friend. And on the other end, we will talk about all the freshmen on campus with Cal. We obviously have to get into the NBA Finals tonight. But before we do all of that, of course, we'll do Blowing Your Salami with our Lady Avery.
All right. If you're looking for a thrill this weekend, hop on a mountain bike, race through Whitewater Rapids, or zip through the treetops, this is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your summer getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.